Ta-da! You see the light bulb go on for someone else, you help them, and that immediately is going to make you start feeling better about yourself.
You are listening to the Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness, your number one resource for practical tips and insights, empowering you and your family to live well with Alzheimer's. Hello and welcome to episode 32 of the Alzheimer's Podcast. I'm Mike Good of Togetherness. I'd like to thank you for joining me for another podcast where my goal is always to empower you to maintain a positive experience, reduce and eliminate the need for medications, and make your time together with those you care for the best it can be. Being resilient means being able to spring back into shape after being bent, stretched, or compressed, which you've probably felt as a care partner. Think about it as the ability to recover readily from illness, depression, or adversity and be stronger. This is likely a daily occurrence for you, and recovery times may vary. In this episode of Navigating Rough Terrain with the Dementia Sherpa, Christy Turner will help you better understand the importance of and how to use resiliency for better dementia care. In case you're new, Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa, is a regular guest on the Alzheimer's Podcast, where she joins me for discussions to help empower you to be successful as you care for someone living with dementia. She is a certified dementia practitioner, certified dementia care unit manager, and cognitive stimulation instructor. She has run award-winning memory care communities and assisted living and skilled nursing levels of care. Using her 16 years of experience in working with over 1,100 people living with dementia and their families, she's developed a system that helps families move from crisis management to confidence. Well, hello, Christy, and welcome back for another episode of Navigating Rough Terrain with the Dementia Sherpa.
Great to be here, Mike. Thanks so much for having me back.
So, Christy, as you and I and our listeners know, when you're the care partner for someone with dementia, things aren't always going to go the way you want.
And, understatement.
Exactly. And often, unfortunately, caregivers feel like they're failures from this. But it's how we handle and bounce back from these missteps that make the difference in the quality of care we provide. Will you please share with our audience your thoughts about the importance of resiliency in dementia care?
Yeah, absolutely. I will. I think that's one thing that you're so right is care partners can really get into this mode of beating the crap out of themselves. Like, oh my gosh, you know, one thing and they feel like I'm not doing anything right. And this situation keeps getting worse or it's not getting any better. And it's so easy to spiral into a cycle of just feeling really bad about yourself. And the fact is, for dementia care partners, we just don't have time for that.
Right.
So I think resiliency just so often gets overlooked, and it's just one of those really, I think, kind of soul affirming exercises that we can do. If you just sit down, you know, with a piece of paper and a pen and come up with like 10 tough situations you've been through in your life, because everybody's been through something, right? Even people that we believe have charmed lives. Everybody has been through something. And what's that saying? Be kind. You never know what someone else is going through. And I think that often we don't give ourselves credit for what we've been through, for tough times that we've successfully come through. And, you know, somebody right now may be thinking 10 things. My gosh, that's a lot. Please, I'm limiting you to 10 things. Okay.
Right.
So just the first 10 tough situations that come to your mind, jot those down and then look at what are some similarities in those situations, right? What qualities got you through that? And sometimes that's, it can be tough for people to get into that mindset. So here's a different way to look at it. And I had this actually happen with a client, right? When she was referred to me, she was described as, and this is by professionals, by the way, but she was described as a pain in the back end, stubborn, demanding, right? All of these pejorative words that these professionals should have known better. So I just had this list of like 20 things that people were calling her. This is real easy. Flip it around. Stubborn is what? It's a pejorative word for persistent.
Right.
Wouldn't we all agree that persistence is a positive quality?
Exactly.
Right? That's something that goes straight back to resiliency. She was a pain in the rear. Okay, well, why was she a pain in the rear? Oh, because she wanted her own way. Okay, well, don't we all want our own way? Of course we do. And why? Why do we want our own way? What is it that, are we focused on a goal? Are we focused on an objective? Are we focused, you know, eyes on the prize? What goal are we needing to reach? Or what are we needing to get out of a situation? So when you're writing your list of 10 situations, even if you're coming up with words that don't sound positive, that's okay. Go to thesaurus.com, right? Put in those words, come up with what are the flip side of those words, right? Because what I know is if you have resiliency, you've been through some stuff in your life, right? You have been in a spot where you were probably scared, maybe felt isolated. Maybe you didn't know how you were going to come out of this situation. And so what types of things did you turn to? What types of help did you get involved? What did you pull in from within? You dug deep. What did you find? Did you lean on your faith? Was your family especially helpful, or your partner, or your best friend? Was it you made a decision and decided you were going to start doing things differently? You know, so there are a lot of different things that you have done that you maybe aren't consciously thinking of anymore. A lot of different things that you've done that helped you get through tough situations. And with every tough situation you come through, you build your resiliency. You're better able to manage your way through the next tough situation. Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about dementia, we're talking about a process that can go anywhere from 2 to 20 years. So yeah, you're going to need your resiliency to get through that in one piece. And, you know, I know I'm talking a mile a minute here, Mike, but this is something I'm just so passionate about, because I want dementia care partners to, number one, recognize what they're doing, right? What you're doing is a big deal. And two, give yourself credit for it.
Exactly.
And then three, draw on your resiliency, draw on your past successes. Even when you thought, what's that Winston Churchill quote? When you're going through hell, keep going.
So Christy, you know, I looked up the word resiliency, and what you're saying all makes sense. And one of the key things about it was also, once you get through it, you're stronger about it, and you're a stronger person. So it's, you know, it's also kind of like the saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, I guess.
Right.
That's a key aspect of it here for our care partners. And I guess one of the main, you know, in episode 26, you talked about changing what's not working. And this is kind of similar to that, identifying what's not working and getting that changed. And that's a piece of the resiliency, I guess.
Maybe it's my personality, but I like to focus more on what is working or what has worked in the past.
Right.
And then bring more of that into a situation that's not working right now.
Okay.
And if you're feeling like that's just really not a possibility for whatever reason, yeah, X, Y, and Z worked before, but I don't see how it's going to work in this situation, ask for help. I mean, really, ask for help. If you're listening to this show right now, you know Mike will help you. You know I will help you. All you need to do is reach out to us. And if we don't know the answer to your question or exactly how to help you, we will find somebody who does know the answer to your question or can help you. And so you know, part of that is just, I think part of resiliency is recognizing you've been through stuff before. That doesn't mean you have to have all the answers, but you know enough to reach out, right?
Yes.
If something isn't working, just reach out and other people will help you through it too. You remember, resiliency does come from having been through a tough situation before. And if you're feeling wobbly, like you're not going to get through this situation, reach out. It really is that simple. That's the first step. So I think one of the most important things when it comes to resiliency is how we talk to ourselves.
Okay.
We all have that little voice inside, right? So think about like when you're at the gym and you're on repetition number two, you're going 10, no way, right? And so that little voice inside your head is telling you, you can't do this. It's too hard. It hurts. I'm hot. I'm sweaty. I'd rather be eating a donut or whatever it is, right? And the thing that sometimes we forget is there's that other little voice in your head. And let that other little voice out, the one that says, you know what? You got this. You've been through way worse than this. You can do this. I believe in you. And if you can't find that little voice in your head, hear my voice right now. I do believe in you. I know you can make it through this. I know you can ask for help if you need more help than what you feel like you can manage on your own right now. I think you're doing the very best that you can. And I know that you're learning every day. And when you know better, you'll do better. And I know that you know that Mike and I are absolutely here for you and ready to help you if you need to reach out. So use that voice. If you don't have a positive voice in your head, use that voice. And remember that help is just really at the other side of your monitor, a phone call away.
That's really great advice. I think it's so key that our care partners remind themselves, and I know it's so hard because these missteps, if you will, or failures occur so often throughout the day if we let that negative voice talk to us as opposed to the positive voice. So I think that's just a really great reminder to everybody to help them stay resilient.
For sure. And I happen to be from a family who can trace military service back to the Revolutionary War.
Wow.
And yeah. And I know that your show, the Alzheimer's podcast, originates right there by San Diego. So you've got some SEALs, right?
Absolutely.
Right there by you. And there's that great Navy SEAL saying, which is the only easy day was yesterday.
Nah.
And that's always a great one to keep in mind when I need a little extra, you know, for a project that I'm doing or going, yeah, of course I'm going to get on the treadmill again today. If we look at it through a positive lens and have positive self-talk and think about something like, you know, Navy SEALs, right? Think about their training, truly, you know, out in the surf and buds training and all of that kind of stuff, right? Even if you're not, if you're feeling like Navy SEAL, that's just a completely different world. Think about Army basic training. Think about doing, you know, 200 push-ups right now. My point being, people go through tough stuff every day and you're not alone. And I know that as a dementia care partner, a lot of times you can feel so isolated. It feels like the world is shrinking in around you. And sometimes that's just a little cue from your body saying, you know what, you need to like take a little walk, girl. If it's, you know, it might be through the house, it might be out in the yard, it might be just you know, literally standing in a corner and deep breathing, you know, for a count of 10, whatever it is. Other people have been through really tough stuff, including dementia care partners. And those folks, many of them still go to support groups.
Right. That's what I was just thinking about.
Yeah. So they can share their experiences. They can share their strength. They can share hope with you. that they too have been through tough situations and give you some great pointers. So again, resources are out there. You don't have to build resiliency all on your own. You can borrow other people's too.
You know, even in your example there, although a Navy SEAL or someone in our military, when they're going through training or whatever, while a lot of it is on their own, it's still about being a team and working together and pulling strength from your comrades. And it made me think of support groups, which you brought up, because when I attended support groups, there was just so much love and compassion and empathy within that group. I could really see the new people just gain strength that they were going to be able to take home and use to help them throughout their days. It was incredible.
Right. And again, you know, going to military, right? So it's not, I mean, we kind of say Navy SEAL slang, we're leaving out the actual title. They're SEAL teams.
Right.
Not SEAL individuals, right? And if you think about how amazing these troops are on their own, put them in a team, look how much more powerful they become. And it is really the same thing with support groups. When you are in an environment where you know that other people understand, they have been where you are, and they get why you're maybe not feeling so chipper, why maybe you're wearing two different color socks, why it was kind of a big deal that you actually got to the group that day. That just that feeling of acceptance gets you a long way toward it. It dissipates a lot of that negative energy that can kind of collect when you feel like things are so difficult and it's taking a lot of your energy. It just rebuilds your reserves being in a supportive environment. So again, just kind of looking at this topic, at resiliency, another thing, and I don't think I really talked about this yet, but for your loved one, this can also be really powerful, right? Because sometimes people living with dementia, depending on where they are in the disease process, will say something like, I guess I'm just stupid. I don't know anything. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And that's like a knife in our heart. And so immediately we want to go, no, that's not true. And so instead of saying that, what I would advise is, number one, because they're expressing how they're feeling to you, right? So you could say something empathetic, compassionate, like, oh gosh, I'm sorry you're feeling that way, Mom. I'm thinking of the time that you taught me to tie my shoes. And I don't know how you had the patience to do that, because you being right-handed and me being left-handed, I know it took me a lot longer than it took other kids to learn how to do that. And I don't think I would know how to do that if it wasn't for you. So see how you can take what started off as a negative and turn it around into a positive and really a heartfelt tribute from you, right, to your person, and reminding them of their past successes, their past victories. That helps them too. So in the same way, you can do that for yourself.
That's a really good point, because we tend to talk about people that are maybe more in the later processes of the disease. But for any of our in our audience who maybe they're new to the disease and their loved ones in the early stages, that resiliency, I've met so many people that were recently diagnosed and they're really fighting back against the disease, and they were showing a lot of resiliency. They were picking themselves up, even though they may have forgot a name or forgot to go to an appointment, but they wouldn't let that keep them down. They would bounce back and, you know, keep moving forward. And I really think that strength is helping them to stay active and to delay the progression of the disease as well.
Right. So we know that the more active and engaged people are, the longer they're able to keep their language abilities, right?
Right.
and that's really key. So we do want to keep people as active and engaged as possible. And that helping remind about resiliency can be a great strategy to keep that happening, because none of us likes to feel dumb, right?
True.
Or like we're incompetent. And that's one of the things that can keep people out of social situations, is when they're feeling like they don't belong or people won't get them. And so, again, going back to, you know, oh gosh, I remember you being the hostess with the mostest, or I remember this party you threw, or whatever it is, where you can remind people of their skills and strengths and abilities, and then reassure them that you're going to be with them every step of the way. You're going to help them. That's a huge thing that we can do for our person. So to recap, some of the best strategies for using resiliency for better dementia care is to remember that both you and your loved one have resiliency. It's just a matter of reminding yourself and reminding your person that that actually exists, right? One of the easiest ways to recall past times, past tough stuff that you've gotten through, is write a list of 10 times. 10 tough things you've been through, and then look at each of those situations. What were qualities that got you through that? What were things that you did? And if you're feeling, you know, a lot of negative emotions still around those situations, that's okay. Write those words down, then go to thesaurus.com and see what other words you can use, because it has a list of antonyms at the bottom, right? And so instead of stubborn, we would call it persistent, right? That's a positive quality. Then start using those positive words in your self-talk. And use those positive words. Once you're using those positive words in your self-talk, you're going to notice a change in what you're internally feeling as your level of resiliency, right? Because you're getting some positive, you're getting yourself into a positive feedback loop. And that's really important. If you're feeling like you can't pull this off on your own, that's okay. You can ask for help, right? You can ask Mike for help. You can ask me for help. We both have websites. There's Together in This and there's Dementia Sherpa. Twitter, Facebook, we're like readily available to help you. And if we don't feel like we personally can do that, we can definitely find somebody who has the answer that you need, or make sure that you get the help that you need. So help is readily available. I think I said support groups, but in case I didn't, because I'm such a big believer in them, find a support group near you. You can go to alz.org and you can find support groups there in your area. Another thing is, you know, that's so important, I think, about support groups, is that they help us remember we're not alone. You're looking at people who are currently going through this or have already been through this, and that can help reinforce your own resiliency. One of the quickest ways to get out of kind of a negative cycle, if we're feeling like, you know, oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to do this, is to help someone else, believe it or not, like move past your own situation. And so that could be just a comment at a support group, and ta-da, you see the light bulb go on for someone else, you help them, and that immediately is going to make you start feeling better about yourself. Remember that for our loved ones, for every interaction, we always want to treat them with respect, kindness, love, empathy, and compassion, right? That just makes sense. Every interaction is going to go better when we start there. I'd like you to additionally add yourself to that list.
Right.
It's okay to treat yourself with respect, kindness, love, empathy, and compassion. And a lot of times we don't do this. A lot of times we have very little compassion for ourselves. We talk to ourselves in a way that we would not dream of talking to a friend going through the same situation. So if you're struggling with getting that inner voice to actually be on your side and on your team, remember, again, you know, use my voice, use Mike's voice, use the positive And you can go back and replay the episode and hear my little spiel earlier. But again, you know, we are absolutely here for you. And that really sums up the importance of resiliency, how you can use it for better dementia care, both for yourself and for your loved one.
Well, that's wonderful, Kristen. I do thank you for joining us and helping explain the importance of resiliency. I was listening and learning, thinking so much about it, I didn't have a lot to offer, but I was definitely learned a lot. Well, thanks again, Christy, and bye-bye.
Bye.
Be sure to visit the show notes at togetherinthis.com/episode32 for a link to Christy's website and any other referenced resources. And don't forget, Christy is a regular guest on the Alzheimer's podcast, so be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. You've been listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit togetherinthis.com/podcast.